tide the light, whom shall I fear? You crush the enemy underneath my feet. You are my sword and shield, no troubles linger still. Whom shall especially now. He is by our side. Good morning and welcome to our worship service today. Beautiful morning it is. Some announcements that I need to go over as before we go on to our worship service, with our worship service. Last Sunday, we missed one of our college graduates, and that it was Ashton Vaith. I did get her in the bulletin this time, so congratulations to Ashton as she graduated from Lake Area Technical Institute in Watertown. Her degree is there, Associate of Applied Science in Ag Business, and I believe she's doing an internship right now here at Mettler's. So, congratulations to her. Some other announcements. This is Memorial Day weekend. So we say a big God bless you to our vets who are with us today. We have many of them in our congregation. There is a POW MIA remembrance. We had it here on Veterans Day, and special thanks to Lee and Diane Herbolt for setting that up. It's in the social hall. We'll go out that way. So you can look at it. At the end of each pew, there should be a full-sized paper like this with a reading of what each thing on that table means. So how about let's have our veterans stand that are here with us this morning, please, if you would. All of the veterans. Yep, have Calvin stand, Larry or Connie. Have Calvin stand. He's not hearing it, I don't think. Okay. Yeah, God bless you. We thank God for you. Amen. Thank you for your service, and we certainly pray for those that have or were prisoners of war, all those missing in action. Next Sunday will be our confirmation Sunday. So that means church starts at 10 o'clock next Sunday, okay? So try and get that in your minds. And then the following Sunday, June 7th, we go to our summer schedule, which means 9:30 church. And this is in the bulletin. Also, 2 weeks from today is Conference Sunday. Usually that is the first Sunday of May, but we weren't together then. So that June 7th offering will go to the Four C's, just so you're aware of that. Next Sunday, Confirmation Sunday, we'll have the young eighth graders from Freedom's Reformed Church in Tripp will be with us as a part of the service on that day. Okay? You can see there at the bottom, maybe you didn't read it yet, but as it says, after faithfully serving as our church custodians for the last 12 years, Johnny and Lori Whale are going to retire from that anyway. So they'll still be with us. But so we will be looking for new church custodians. If you have questions, you can talk to them, certainly, or you can as well call the church office in the next week or so to find out more about it. I think that's all I have for now. You can read the rest later as you have time. Let's bow our heads in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, we love you and worship you. We always are grateful and excited about these times, Sunday mornings, when we can come into this sanctuary, into your presence, to worship at your feet. As we sang that last chorus, you are the God of angel armies. And we know that our strength is in your name. That no weapon formed against us shall stand. For you, Lord, you hold the whole world in your hands, and we are holding on to your promises, standing on them, as we sing that hymn so often. But Father, we are here in awe of you and your majesty, your greatness, and your power. It is truly amazing. And we will sing that in just a few moments here. With all of our hearts. So thank you, Lord, for moving in our midst today in a mighty way, for filling this place with your glory and your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And so let's stand. That is going to be our opening hymn, if you call it. I stand in awe of you. Normally we sing it as a praise chorus, but today it will be our opening hymn.
Lord, lead me on this.
Seated. Such a beautiful chorus. We'll have our sharing of joys and concerns here this morning. Just a couple things. Lori Whale is recovering well from her surgery and with us today, so we praise the Lord for that. This went out on the prayer chain, but I don't know if everybody's on it, but just prayers for Milo and Mary Lee Hauk. Milo was diagnosed with influenza B earlier this week, and I didn't get to talk to Mary Lee yesterday to see how it was going, but hopefully he's improving with that. Also, prayers for Jimmy Whale. Jimmy, a lot of you know, I think is Johnny's twin brother, and he had been having lots of issues going on here recently, and they've been running tests and unfortunately found a frontal lobe brain mass is all that we're saying right now. There's more tests that will be run and they'll go from there. But lift up him, Jimmy and his wife, Christina and their family. We pray for wisdom through what lies ahead. That's what I had on my notes. So anybody else over here? Okay, how about on this side? We're all quiet today. Okay, let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we come to you, thanking you for a beautiful morning. We thank you for another nice rain last night in the middle of the night. Lord, for this spring, it really has been beautiful, and you've allowed time for the crops to be planted. And I know there's still some yet to be done, but for what's in the ground, we just rejoice. We pray over this whole season, growing season, and ask for your blessing upon it, Lord. As we pray, Father, for our nation, we think of this weekend called Memorial Day weekend, and we are so thankful for those that served our nation around the world, over the years, over the many years, the decades of our nation's history, giving their lives for freedoms that we enjoy. Some as POWs going through unspeakable torture. Many missing in action. Many buried at the bottom of the sea. Many burned alive to their death, and on we could go. And we thank you for the veterans who are with us this morning. We have many in this congregation, and what a great joy and privilege that is. Bless them, we pray. And as we pray for them, we pray for our nation. Father, continuing to ask for the outpouring of your Spirit upon us in a mighty way. We pray for our president and vice president and his advisors. We pray for our congressmen and women. Guide them by your Spirit, Father. We know your word says the hand of the king is in the heart of the Lord. The heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, and you turn it whithersoever way you will. And we trust you in that. Give our leaders wisdom and strength and knowledge. Father, thank you for Lori as she came through that surgery very well, and it was even less had to be done than what they expected. We pray for Milo and Mary Lee Hauk, especially Milo. Lord, with the influenza B, we ask for healing and strength throughout his body and to their home. We lift up Jimmy and Christina Whale. Certainly, Lord, the news they received on Friday, I guess it was, is not what anyone wants to hear. a mass in the brain. Lord, we know it was no surprise to you, and we do look to you as the great physician, our healer, our deliverer. Thank you for guiding them each step of the way by your Spirit with strength, healing, comfort, and wholeness in Jesus' name. And Lord, as always, we want to pray for our healthcare workers. We have a number of them able to be with us this morning, some for the very first time, and we thank you for them serving so faithfully through this difficult time in our nation. Bless them, give them strength, keep them whole and healthy and sound, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. And I want to read from Galatians 6, chapter 6, verse 7 and 8. It says this, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit," that's the Holy Spirit, "will from the Spirit reap eternal life." Amen. Let's stand together. We'll sing our doxology. The offering box, I think, as you all know, is in the back. As you come and go, you can put your offerings in there if you haven't already. And thank you for your faithfulness in giving through all this time. You'll be getting the newsletter here. If you didn't yesterday, you should on Tuesday, the Salem Spire. And we're blessed. I'll just give you an update quick, sorry. The month of May is when the big insurance payment comes due on the property, the church, the parsonage, and all that, which is $11,000 right at, and we always pay half of it. So, but praise the Lord, the giving has been good through this whole time. God is faithful, so thank you all. God bless you. Let's sing the doxology. Praise God from to praise you for. As I said before, a beautiful spring and a beautiful rain last night. We thank you for your goodness, for strength and health and life throughout this congregation and throughout our community and region. We thank you, Lord. For the gifts that are given, we give by faith to you, out of obedience to your word, knowing that you are our source and our provider. We give with joyful hearts, not grudgingly or out of necessity, for as your word says, you love a cheerful giver. And what a privilege it is to bring our tithes and our offerings into your storehouse. So bless these, Lord, I pray. Multiply them for the work of your kingdom in Jesus' name. And Lord, we pray together the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and deliver us from our debts. Sorry, as we forgive our debtors, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Excuse me. Forgive me. Do you want the bench? Okay.
Oh, there we are. Sorry to say I wasn't in faith with the non-handheld. What do you call that? The wireless. Because we've had a lot of troubles with it, but it's doing very well today, so there's no issues. But I decided to use this. Boys and girls, it's good to see you. Grab your Bibles. I want you to open to Ephesians chapter 6 and put your finger on verse 17. There you go. So while you're doing that, I have a question. What have we been studying? The armor of God. That's right, the armor of God. And we have the armor of God so that because it protects our hearts and our minds from the devil's temptations, his attacks, his lies. God has given us this. And it also helps us to make right decisions. All right? So while you're still looking and getting that, let's review. First, we talked about the belt of truth, the belt of truth. The belt of truth is God's word inside of us, his truth. This is the breastplate of righteousness. We put on the righteousness that Jesus gave us, and we do our best to live right. These remind us of the shoes of the gospel of peace. We have peace through what Jesus did for us, and we go on and share his peace with others. Last week, we talked about the shield of faith. This was kind of the fun one, right? We put up our shield, and that protects us from the fiery darts of the devil, the temptations, the lies he gives us. Next, we have the helmet of salvation. We put that on. That reminds us that we are saved and saved only through Jesus Christ. So today we're going to talk about the sword of the Spirit. Before we look at that verse, let's talk about it a little bit. The actual sword in the Romans days, they actually had two swords. A shorter sword that was more like a dagger that they used for close combat. And then they had a longer sword that they used for like when they were riding on horses. What I found out was the shorter sword was more like a dagger, but it was 18 inches long, and it was double-edged, sharp on both edges, so that when the soldier was in combat, he could just pull it out quickly and use it to defend himself or to attack the devil. And so let's read what it tells us about. For us, that's what soldiers did. And as we think about Memorial Day just for a second, a lot of the men and women who stand today have, and those that aren't with us anymore, and those that couldn't be here today, they know what it's like to be in a battle, those that were overseas. They know what it's like to fight the enemy for freedom. And if you know, like our children and our ages, I didn't really know a lot about the wars from the past, but I tell you, we've been watching them for months now, just on the History Channel or on Netflix, some of the wars, and I think it's very good for us to watch that because we will get a very true understanding of what was fought for our freedom and for freedom of other countries. Anyway, that's that. Okay, boys and girls, let's read it. Ready? What does the word say about Ephesians 6, 17? Let me get it. Okay. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So what does the sword of the Spirit tell us that it is? The word of God. That's right. It's the word of God. So see, when the devil comes to you and he tells you, you know what? God doesn't love you. You're not good enough. Or when he tells you, you can never do anything good because you're just a kid. And the other day, you just messed up and you sinned again. God can't use you. This is what we do. We pick up the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, and we tell the devil. John 3:16 tells us that God so loved the world that he sent Jesus. He loves us. Then we look at Ephesians 2:10, and it tells us that we are God's workmanship, Christ's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good things. He has good things for all of us. He's plans for you, even no matter how young you are to how old you are. We are his, so we will. So that's how we fight the devil. We fight him not with our fists, not with our swords, but we fight him with the word of God when he comes against us. Now, you know, boys and girls, all these other pieces of armor were for our protection, to protect us. But this one is the one that we use to fight with. And our example, our best example is Jesus. When he was led into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit for 40 days and 40 nights, the devil came to him. And the first temptation that he told him was, you know, because Jesus was hungry, okay? He was human. He was God and he was man, both, but he was human. So he was hungry. So the devil came to him and he said, take this rock and turn it into a piece of bread. What did Jesus say? It's written, devil. Let's see. I'm losing on it. We shall not live by bread alone, sorry, but by every word that comes out of God's mouth. And then he took him to a very high place, and he said, look at this. I mean, really high. Throw yourself down, because the word of God says, see, the devil did quote the word of God. He said, it says in the Bible, the angels will pick you up so your foot won't even hit the rock. Jesus said, nope, I'm not tempting God. I'm not going to tempt God. I know he will save me, but that's not what I'm here to do. So then the devil tried again. He took him to another place, and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world. And he said, all of these could be yours, Jesus. All you have to do is bow down and worship me. And Jesus said, get away from me, devil. The Bible tells us to worship and serve only God. And what happened? The devil left, right? So when we're under our temptations, when our family's under temptations, when our friends are, when you see them being attacked with whatever, you pick up the word of God and you tell it back to the devil. We do that through prayer. We do that in our hearts, in our minds, and we do it out loud. Are we going to do that, boys and girls? We're going to do it. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you so much for giving us Jesus. We thank you for giving us all these pieces of armor, especially the word of God. You have not left us here to fight on our own. No, you are with us. You tell us in other places that the battle belongs to you. We need to put on our armor on and stand for you, Father. I pray for these boys and girls, wherever they're at this week, you help them. You help them to use the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, and be a blessing to whoever they are in contact with. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We'll sing number 2 out of the hymnal. Number 2, Holy God, we praise thy name. Number 2. Yes, Father, we praise your name. We bow our hearts and our knees before you. as we confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And we do believe in our hearts, Father, that you raised him from the dead. And we thank you that we can live in the power of that resurrection by the Spirit of the living God each and every day as you live within us. So thank you for your word, your inspired, inerrant, infallible, living word of God that you've given to us, that we can look into and study it and live according to it and learn from it. So open the eyes of our hearts, I pray, today and always as we look into it here together and at home. And I ask that you'd speak through me, Father, by your Spirit to those gathered here. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're going on to Daniel chapter 5 today. I need to give some introduction and background here before we get into that. Chapter 4, as I said, was the last time we see Nebuchadnezzar as king of Babylon. We'll hear about him again, but that's the last time we see him. Daniel 1, 2, 3, 4 is all under his reign, Nebuchadnezzar. And remember, I told you he was such a very prideful and evil man, really. He had no regard. I mean, if he didn't like you, that was it. And God had told him through this dream, as Daniel the prophet interpreted it, he said to Nebuchadnezzar, you're going to be driven away from people and you are going to live with the wild animals. You're going to eat grass like the cattle. You're going to be drenched with the dew of heaven. And seven times, that means 7 years, are going to pass until what? Until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men. And God had told him that before. He had seen some amazing miracles as we look through those first Daniel 1, 2, and 3, but he still was holding on to his false gods. In Daniel 4, it says, your kingdom will be restored to you when you acknowledge that heaven rules. Then it does, and God rules. So he gave him a whole year to repent. Wouldn't do it. Actually, his pride became greater. And if we come to Daniel 4, verse 29 and 30, we see him looking. He goes up on the balcony of his palace and looks out over Babylon, which was a majestic city in its day. It was truly incredible. As I told you early on, one of the 10 wonders of the ancient world was there, the Hanging Gardens of Babylon, and so much more. And he looks over that city, and this is what he said, verse 30 of chapter 4, is not this the great Babylon I have built as the royal residence by my mighty power and for the glory of my majesty? Wow. It was no more than those words got off his lips that he lost his mind and it happened. Judgment came and he wandered like that. He just couldn't resist, could he? He did eat grass like the cattle. It said his hair, it was as long as the feathers of an eagle after 7 years, right? His nails, they were like the claws of a bird. But he did repent at the end of that time. And we see that at the end of that chapter 4. It says, then when the kingdom, his sanity was restored to him, and he said, then I praised the Most High. And on that goes. It was quite a transformation in his life. He realized that God rules. Now I hope, I believe, that we all realize that and know that. We certainly should. So let's come up here to today. Some introduction here now. In before I start reading in chapter 5. See, the Babylonians, they were very good at keeping records, and they did so. We know that King Nebuchadnezzar, so here's some of your blanks coming up. Nebuchadnezzar, he died in the year 563 B.C. 563 B.C. This is just some history for you, okay? Some of you probably don't care, some of you do, but I'm giving it to you. Chapter 5 starts in the year 539 B.C., so 24 years in between there, from when Nebuchadnezzar dies until we come to the start of chapter 5. When, as we read through 5, you'll see it's referring to Belshazzar, the king, as Nebuchadnezzar's son, okay? I told you before, and I'll tell you again today, Belshazzar was his grandson. It's not an error in Scripture or anything like that, but and I have this listed out more in your outline because these are some quite the names. After Nebuchadnezzar dies, his son, Evil-Merodach, how about that for a name? Evil-Merodach, he becomes king, and he reigns for a few years. He was assassinated. Then this guy named Nergal-Sharezer, which some believe that was also a son of Nebuchadnezzar, he reigns for only 4 years, and he was assassinated. Then he was followed by this next guy, Labashai Marduk. Don't use these names for your kids, okay? He was one of the commanders in the army. He wasn't in the bloodline, but he was in the royalty, okay? He reigned, and then he's followed by this guy, Nabonidus, who was the son-in-law of Nebuchadnezzar, all right? And Nabonidus was the father of Belshazzar. So that's how we know, okay, that he was the grandson. And this comes from the historical records, okay? I told you last time that in their culture and in this time, actually in the Hebrew language of the Old Testament, there is no word for grandfather. If you have a Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, look it up. I did this week just to make sure once again. There is no word for grandfather in the Hebrew language. So when they refer as father, they refer that grandfather, and even beyond, further back. So you just have to know that as we're going to be reading this through. So eventually, though, Nabonidus, the father-in-law of Belshazzar, they are reigning together over Babylon. Nabonidus is the one who wants to go out and fight the battles. The Medes and Persians are at this point, they're coming against Babylon. And so Nabonidus is out there fighting, and Belshazzar is in Babylon ruling there over the city and the country in that way. And actually, one commentary said that at this time, Nabonidus was actually captured by the Medes and Persians as a prisoner of war. How appropriate for what today is in our culture. So we come to Daniel 5, the 5th chapter. It seems that Daniel himself had sort of dropped out of sight for some years here, okay? We know that Belshazzar, the grandson, did not have the life change that his grandfather had. Nebuchadnezzar was truly a changed man by the time we came to end of chapter 4. We know that today. Just because grandpa loves the Lord or grandma and serves the Lord earnestly and all their life does not mean the grandchildren do. That faith has to be afresh in every generation. Even the children, they got to take hold of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, right? We got to know that. Grandchildren got to take hold of it. Themselves, the faith in Jesus Christ, and live for it. So Belshazzar, not so. His name, Belshazzar, Bel, B-E-L, was one of the chief of their false gods, and so his name meant Bel, protect the king. That's what Belshazzar literally means. This guy, Belshazzar, he was a wicked man. He was born into great privilege and wealth, and he was spoiled. This again comes, we'll see it here, but it comes from history too. Just showering himself with excess of every kind you could imagine. History tells us he was a drunkard, a reveler, and a sexually loose man. And I wouldn't doubt it. Daniel chapter 5, verse 1. In the first part of your outline, we're going to see God will not be mocked. He will not be mocked. Daniel 5, verse 1, King Belshazzar gave a great banquet, a feast, one translation says, for 1,000 of his nobles, and drank wine with them. While Belshazzar was drinking his wine, he gave orders to bring in the gold and silver goblets that Nebuchadnezzar, his father, had taken from the temple in Jerusalem, so that the king and his nobles, his wives, and his concubines might drink from them. So they brought in the gold goblets that had been taken from the temple of God in Jerusalem. And the king and his nobles, his wives and his concubines drank from them. And listen to this, verse 4. Ooh. Spider on the pulpit. Never know. It's better than a bat. Ben Crick, isn't it? Yeah, much better than a bat. Okay, sorry. Verse 4, as they drank the wine, they praised the gods of gold and silver, of bronze, iron, wood, and stone. What a sad day. Wow. That was sad. You remember, if we'd go back to Daniel chapter 1, that was when King Nebuchadnezzar came, attacked Jerusalem, besieged it, took, as we just read, that's when these articles of gold and silver were taken from God's temple. These were articles that had been dedicated to the service of Almighty God. They were sacred. And even in that day, among the heathen cultures, as Babylon was, worshiping many false gods, it was generally their practice to, if they would take those items from an enemy's temple, as they did, bring them back, they would put them in their old temple, their own temple of their false gods, but they would still show honor and reverence to them. So what Belshazzar is doing here is in a way very unheard of even in that day. I mean, he is crossing a line that is very serious. Sacrilege, we call it. You have that. What is sacrilege? A gross misuse or disrespect of something that is sacred or precious. And Belshazzar is doing that. This was an insult beyond insults to God Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth. One commentary says, because there were men and women at this event, this thing had turned into a drunken orgy. It was beyond, I would hope, what any of us could imagine. And God is at the point where he is going to say, enough is enough. That's it. Galatians 6, real quick back to that, what I read at the offering. God is not mocked. It says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows, right? We're in the season of planting here right now. We all know that. the farmers, you take great care for your soil, the land, that God has blessed you with. You go to great measures to treat that and care for it and improve it over however many years that God gives you. And you sow that seed, the best seed that you think you have, into that for the harvest. You're sowing, right? Well, we come over to our lives, spirit, soul, and body. He says, the one who sows to please his sinful nature, the nature of the flesh, from that nature is going to reap destruction. One of the professors at seminary, he always said, payday's coming, one way or the other. Let me read the next verse, the rest of that verse here, Galatians. The one who sows to please the Spirit of God, from the Spirit, this is capital S, the Holy Spirit, will reap eternal life. Payday's coming one way or the other. Who are we sowing to? Right now, we are all sowing to the Spirit of God. Right here. It's what you're doing in your life. Every time we come and gather, at least if we're coming with right hearts and attitudes, we're sowing to the Spirit of God in our lives. When you're at home and you read the Word of God, you're sowing to the Spirit of God and you're reaping a harvest. When you're praying, you're sowing to the Spirit of God, reaping a harvest. It'll come. Does it come as fast as we want it? Usually not. Does your natural harvest always come as you would like it to be? It'd be nice, wouldn't it? No, there's lots of challenges in between. So we have to realize that. All right, second tier, let's go on here. The finger of God. This is amazing. Verse 5, Daniel 5, verse 5. Suddenly, You look through scripture. I like it. Sometimes I've done this in the past. Looked up just that word, suddenly. When God moves suddenly, you better be aware and awake, because he's got something coming. On the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, which next Sunday, by the way, is Pentecost Sunday, they were all gathered in that upper room. What does it say? And suddenly, a mighty wind comes whoosh, rushing through, and these cloven tongues of fire sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. That's a suddenly. Here it says, suddenly, they're having this big old party. Most of them are drunk beyond drunk. Belshazzar even, he's crossed a line here that his predecessors would not do. By calling for these sacred items that were taken from God's temple in Jerusalem, put in the temple of their false god, which is bad enough, but yet to make it worse, he's going to make a mockery out of the God of heaven and earth. Did he realize that God rules, Belshazzar? No, he did not. He also was very prideful. Suddenly, the fingers of a human hand appeared and wrote on the plaster of the wall near the lampstand in the royal palace. The king watched the hand as it wrote. His face turned pale, and he was so frightened that his knees knocked together and his legs gave way. Think about that. I'd say that was the quickest sobering up that ever has happened, for one. God had their attention now. Where would it be? What if it was right across here? Finger of God writing it. Turned pale, his knees knocked together. Well, you know, that's, well, I'm not going to demonstrate it. But if you're sitting down and you're nervous, sometimes your legs can just get sort of fidgety, right? And there's one translation of it, I didn't write down which, it said it was as if the hips came out of the socket, the socket there came out. So his knees were shaken, he tried to probably stand up to prevent that, and when he stood up, his legs couldn't even hold him, he was just like that. And what does he do? Verse 7, the king called out for the enchanters, astrologers, and diviners to be brought and said to these wise men of Babylon, they're always calling for these guys, aren't they? How many times they fail them? You'd think they'd get the picture, wouldn't you? Whoever reads this writing and tells me what it means will be clothed in purple and have a gold chain placed around his neck, and he will be made the third highest ruler in the kingdom. You know why he's going to be the third highest? Because Nabonidus was number one. Belshazzar was number two, right under him. So this person was going to be number three. That's why. Then all the king's wise men, verse 8, came in, but they could not read the writing or tell the king what it meant. So King Belshazzar became even more terrified, and his face grew even more pale. His nobles were baffled. Wow, he knew something serious was up, didn't he? And he was scared. He was scared. Did God have their attention now? Oh, yes, he did. God, it was as if God was saying, the party's over. The party is over, Belshazzar. I'm dealing with you now. The finger of God. Think about that. Do you ever think about times in the Old Testament first where we see that reference, the finger of God? One time was with the plagues. The plagues as when the children of Israel were in Egypt. The first plague we know was when Moses put down the rod and it turned to us. That wasn't a plague, but the first sign, I'll say it that way, turned into a snake, and the magicians of Pharaoh did the same thing. The second one was when the Nile River turned to blood. Pharaoh's magicians did the same thing. Third one was the plague of all the frogs. Moses is telling Pharaoh, every house in Egypt, even yours, is going to be filled, teeming with frogs all over the place. And Moses, I love this part, I say this different times. Moses says to Pharaoh, when would you like the frogs to disappear? This was in the evening. And Pharaoh says, tomorrow. I never forget the title of this sermon I heard once. It was called, One More Night with the Frogs. Why didn't he say tonight? I don't know. His heart was so hardened. That was the third. The fourth one here is the plague of gnats. Gnats that were going to swarm all over. Do we like gnats? We do not like gnats. They are very irritating, aren't they? Can be this time of year. We try vanilla and every other concoction that people come up with. Some of it stinks so bad, we don't even want to be around each other. Either do the gnats, but if it keeps them away, it's worth it. At that, the plague of gnats, Exodus 8:19, it says, the magician said to Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. All right, coming up, Exodus 31, Ten Commandments. Maybe that's the one you probably guessed, right? When the Lord finished speaking to Moses on Mount Sinai, he gave him the two tablets of the testimony, the tablets of stone inscribed by the finger of God. Wouldn't you have loved to see that? That would have been pretty cool. And God had to do it again. Didn't he? The third time, if you could look at it like this way, in this way, would come up to the New Testament with Jesus, who is God in the flesh, the woman caught in the act of adultery, John chapter 8, what does he do? He bends down at one point there and writes in the sand with his finger. So just throwing that one in there as one. The finger of God was writing there because judgment had come for this king, Belshazzar. We aren't going to finish this chapter by any means today. Hopefully, God willing, 2 weeks, we'll be back to it. But let's talk about what it could mean for us today, the finger of God. If God, looking at your heart, would write on the wall of your heart, so to speak, what might he write? I'd say number one, if you are truly a child of God, born again by his Spirit, you know what he's going to write? Bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. Forgiven. Redeemed. Sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. Those would be things that are written upon our heart because we are his property. But beyond that, we can't just say, oh, good, thanks, Pastor Mike. I guess I am off the hook. It'd be nice, wouldn't it? We all know there could be things, even as his children, we all have areas and things in our lives that are not pleasing to him that maybe nobody knows or ever will know on this earth, but he knows, doesn't he? And he's writing some of those things as he wants to get our attention and deal with those. And yes, thank God for his mercies. Thank God for his patience as he does, as he works through our lives, all the years that he gives us on this earth. But back to Belshazzar here. He was making a mockery of Almighty God by taking these sacred items, bringing them, filling them with their wine, worshiping the false gods of gold and silver and bronze and so on, as it says. And they're just having a high time, so they think. And God says, enough, enough. 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20, let's come back to today, says, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? It is. Our bodies, yes. Who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. Say that this after me. I am not my own. I've been bought with a price. The precious blood of Jesus Christ. Yeah, he says, therefore honor God with your body. Honor God, for what we sow is what we're going to reap all the way around. Now let's talk secondly under this about nationally, our nation. See, God was judging Babylon at that time. Daniel the prophet Daniel, by this point, the exiles had been over there. It could very easily have been in the 60-ish year range that they had been over there by now. And God told through the prophet Jeremiah, you're going to be there 70 years in captivity, and then I'm going to bring you out. And you know what he did? He did, because his word is true. We think about the event of prophecy that we are waiting for right now is called the rapture of the church, the catching away of the believers all on the planet. When that happens, it could happen at any moment. I can hardly wait. All the believers will be gone in a moment. That's what we're waiting for. Okay? That's another deal. Babylon was going to be judged, and it's amazing. We'll hopefully 2 weeks from today get into this of how Darius the Mede is the one who comes in and conquers this city in an amazing way. They do it. Because remember I told you how thick the walls of this city were? You could have 2 4-horse chariots going side by side across the top of the walls of this city, close to 60 miles around, high walls. I mean, it was impregnable by natural means, and they thought so too, but there was a way. See, when God's time comes, it comes. What about America? God bless America. We've been singing that every Sunday. We love this nation. We love all who have fought and given their lives for this nation. But are we immune? Are we immune to God's judgment? We're not. That's why I push so hard. I pray for God to pour out his spirit upon us. So I push hard the importance of us bringing our children, our grandchildren up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, doing everything we can so that they will know Jesus Christ, not just thinking, oh, it'll just happen. It'll happen for them. Tell you what, they are attacked far more than ever before. In so many ways, our children and our youth. No, we're not immune. We are not. I was thankful to hear our president this week say, you know, the churches need to open up. They're essential services. He said, the abortion clinics are open, the bars are open, the churches need to open up. And if you listen to some of that, he went on to say, and they are essential to our society, and we need their prayers. Amen. I say amen to that. The finger of God. The third part, I'm just going to give it to you. I'll read a verse and we'll pick up here next time. The queen. The queen remembers Daniel here. The queen, hearing the voices of the king and his nobles, came into the banquet hall. See, she was not a part of this nonsense. O king, live forever, she said. Don't be alarmed. Don't look so pale. There is a man in your kingdom who has the spirit of the holy gods in him. And we know that's Daniel. And they're going to call for him. And we'll see. You can read on your own, of course. But what a beautiful testimony of Daniel's life living faithfully in that kingdom. So let's search our hearts. Always before God. Yes, he is forgiving. He is merciful. Thank goodness he is, or none of us would be here today. Let's pray. Father, thank you for lessons we are learning from the book of Daniel that apply very much to us today. We do thank you for our nation. Lord, the founding of it is based upon you. You have done incredible things through our history of 244 years, it will be this year. 244 years. Father, in many ways, we have departed greatly from your word, not honoring the life of the unborn, not honoring the sanctity of marriage, and on we could go. Lord, forgive us. We pray as a body of believers and ask for you to forgive us of our sin. Lord, we need so desperately the outpouring of your Spirit to bring revival to this nation once again, Father. It only can happen as you give and as you allow. And yes, we do our parts to proclaim the message of the gospel through our lives and through the words that we speak. And help us to do that with all boldness. But Lord, as we know and you know, without a heart change of this nation, we don't stand much of a chance. But so we pray over this nation, we sing these hymns over this nation and trust you and thank you for the church in America, the true church that is strong, proclaiming your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And so we're going to sing America the Beautiful today, 799 in the hymnal. If you'd stand, please, and after the benediction, we're going to sing God Bless America, as we have been doing. Please receive the benediction. And now may the God of all hope fill you with joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. Now, before we sing our last God Bless America, I didn't say this before, a lot of times I do, but we have our one World War II veteran back with us today, Eugene and Lorene Weidenbach, and Eugene is 99 years old, on his way to 100. So praise the Lord. And let's sing God Bless America. America. I believe the Memorial Day service is still on schedule for Menno at the cemetery at 10:30. Amen. Amen. Weather permitting or even in the rain. Okay. If the weather would be against us, it will be canceled. Okay. Thank you. You may be seated. God bless you. Thank you, Marina.